Bibles and turn to Luke 18. Luke chapter 18. You can kind of keep your finger there. I'll be jumping around in some different places, but a good portion of it will be a brief walkthrough of Luke 18, starting in 18. Luke 18, 18. For the next few Sundays, right up until the SOLA conference, which happens the first week of February, we're going to jump back into our Bible versus the World series. For about four Sundays, we're going to look at four different topics on how the world views those things versus how the Bible views those things. If you were here last Sunday night, you got to hear Dr. Lance Quinn talk about 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 16, right? Or as a reminder, it says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world." As Christians, we are in this world. We are a part of this world, but we are also apart from this world. Our heavenly home is waiting for us, but we are still here to be a light, to be a witness, to be a testimony for the Lord here while we are still on this earth. But while we are on this earth, we are not to fall in love with the things of the world, namely those things that are apart from God's decree, of what He has decreed good, and focusing on those things that are evil. The father of this realm, of this world that we are not to love, is who? Is Satan, right? And the things of Satan we are not to love. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And all of those who are not Christians are a part of this world, a part of this world view. Humanity is wrapped up in the things that are not pleasing to God. Last semester, I believe it was, maybe it was in the fall, maybe it was in the summer, maybe it was like 2 years ago and I got it all wrong, and you're looking at me like I'm crazy. We looked at different things like salvation, what the world thought about salvation, and then we looked at what the Bible said about salvation. And the common theme with all of these different topics that we went through was what? The Bible always wins, right? God always wins because He created everything. He owns everything. He makes the rules. God always wins. We also looked at church. We looked at end times. We looked at a bunch of different things. But we're going to shift gears and pick this up once again. And today, you might have guessed it, we're going to talk about good works. You guys are so sharp. You're on the ball, all right? You have that outline that is on your chair right there that you can take notes with. Okay, we're going to talk about good works, how the Bible views good works versus how the world views good works. And the first point, Roman numeral number one, is a question. How is a work determined to be good? How is a work determined to be good? And the first thing I want us to look at is the world standard. How does the world describe something a good work? And this is where I want you to interact, and I want you to raise your hand, and I want you to tell me, how does the world deem an action, a behavior, as good? What is the world's standard? William?
Famous people tell you what it is.
Seriously, that is a good point. William always has a funny point, but kind of a good, kind of a good point. If famous people deem this as something that is worthy, then, oh yeah, this is, yeah, it's a just cause. It is a good work, and we jump on it because we love those famous people, right? If famous people say, "Save the baby seals," we all say, "This is an ultimate high-achieving thing. We need to save those baby seals," whatever it may be. How else does the world define good works? Armand? What's that? A good work, they would say, is anything else. They would say there's sin, and then everything else that is directly not a sin would be a good thing. Josh?
If it gives you money.
If it gives you money, okay. Chris? Okay, anything that is beneficial for a large amount of people. Doesn't matter what it is, as long as there is a benefit to other people, then that is a good thing. What else? Yeah, CJ? If it makes you feel good about yourself, right? Or if it makes someone else feel good about it, then that's definitely got to be a good thing. Because, you know, we all want to feel good. That's what it's about, isn't it? What else? Give me one or two more, maybe. How does the world define something as a good work? You can even give me an example. Andrew.
Anything that gives way to happiness or continued happiness.
Okay, anything that helps people be happy, continues on in that. Give me some examples of good works. Kari.
Anything that like looks like the world would never do, but they're going to do it because they want to look good. Like Jennifer, like who's the person that goes over and adopts babies? One of the movie stars. They go over and adopt babies in Africa.
Angelina Jolie, something along those lines, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of different causes that people jump on and they want to do that. And a lot of times it is, you know, with the wrong motives. Give me examples of good works, like adopting children. Andrew.
Stopping at a stop sign.
Stopping at a stop sign, obeying the law, okay? I hope that you all, are stopping at stop. I got to say this for a moment, okay? We walk in the morning and Rachel Ryan is on the phone. And she goes, yeah, we made it safe. Okay, love you, bye. And I go, where? Did Chris drive you this morning? She's like, yes. And your parents made you call to confirm that you were safe? And she's like, yes. Her obedience to her parents was a good thing, right? That was a good work. What else? Real quick, CJ. Donating to charity, yeah. You get that money, you give it to someone else, you donate to those that are in need. That's a good thing. You know, helping old ladies across the street, rescuing kittens from trees, things along those lines. Hayden?
Donating to certain foundations that support, like, global warming or, you know, the tree stuff.
Not support global warming, but, like, are against global warming, things along those lines. Yeah, I'm tracking with you. I got you. I read you. All right? That's the world standards of what they would call a good work. You know, it would be anything that seems beneficial towards others, that shows kindness towards others, that's a little bit of an effort out of your way towards others. They see these good works as things that they do to gain favor with others and to gain favor ultimately with who? With God. The world sees good works, their standard of good works, they see them as something that can help them build their way to heaven. Think of most major religions. Well, pretty much all the major religions except Christianity. What are they all based on? They're all based on good works. You do good things, God is pleased with you, you go to heaven. Doesn't matter if you do some bad things, if the more good outweighs that bad, then you go into heaven. That is how the world views good works. That's why most of the world does them. Not because they have a true heartfelt love for others, because they want to look better to others and they want to look better to God. What about the Bible's standard? We're looking at the Bible versus the world. The Bible's standard. All right, I have a statement that I want you to defend. Hopefully you'll be able to defend it, right? God is the only standard of what is good. God is the only standard of what is good. Why is that a true statement? Can you defend that statement? God is the only standard of what is good. Garrett. Because He's perfect and we're not. All right, I love that. That's the Cliff Notes version. All right, go expand a little bit more on that. You're absolutely right, Garrett. Luke.
God is the only one that really perfectly loves, and so that's really the basis for all other good works.
Yeah, all right. Most of our good works, you know, are a show of love towards other, kindness towards other, but it's only God who loves perfectly. So all good works must be derived from Him, right? How else? How else would you defend that statement, Chris?
What we define as good is not bad, and you know, God is the only bad, so you know what I'm saying. White and gray. Gray can be us.
Looking at those different areas, trying to discern, man cannot do that, but God can declare absolute with what is a good work. William?
God created and owns everything, so pretty much what He says is good.
Absolutely. He created everything. He owns everything. So whatever He deems is good, it is good. Think of man. Man is corrupted by what? It's corrupted by the fall. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that sin is then passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation. We are no longer perfect. We are sinful. And since man is corrupted by the fall, corrupted by sin, therefore, man cannot have a proper grasp of what is to be defined as good. God's standard is the only standard for determining good because He is incorruptible. He has been perfect from eternity past. He will remain perfect for eternity future. He will always be perfect. Man is not. Man is sinful. So even when we look at things, man has a tendency to warp and twist and to create good works that fit in his own image. In Romans 1, it talks about how God has put a conscience in all of us to tell between good and to tell between evil. But man takes that conscience, and because he loves sin, he suppresses that conscience. And he twists and he corrupts that conscience. So then man can no longer tell what is good and what is evil in relation to works. I love it when Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and he tells them in John, he says, I showed you many good works from the Father. The good works that Jesus did, you know, healing the lame, you know, causing the blind to see, all those amazing things, the loving, caring things that He did, where did they come from? They came from the Father. Why? Because God is the standard of what is good. That is what the Bible teaches us. I showed you many good works from the Father. And then he asks the Jews, he says, for which one of them are you stoning me? Because the Jews, the Pharisees, interpreted the actions of Christ, and they could not see them as good works from the Father. They saw them as a threat. They saw them as something that was evil. And Jesus is asking them, hey, for which one of the good things that I did because of God, for which one of them are you going to stone me? And they say, for a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus was doing good works from the Father. They, in their twisted, corrupted, sinful state, could not recognize it. Look at Luke 18. Verse 18. This is a story that we're all familiar with, and we're not going to go through it in depth, but we're going to use it as a foundation for the rest of the things that we're going to talk about in our lesson. And you know this story well. It's the rich young ruler. And it is also in Matthew and it is in Mark. And it says, a ruler questioned Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? This is a young rich ruler, maybe a ruler in a synagogue, something along those lines. And he comes up to Jesus, good teacher, what is it? What is the secret of life? What gets me into heaven? What makes me live forever? I've got to know. I've seen all of the things that you have been doing. I know you have the answer. What is it? Jesus' response to him. Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. The first thing he does is he's going to show this guy, you call me good, but it's only in name. You don't have a true, proper understanding of what good is because only God is good. And you are not going to acknowledge me as from the Father because you are not going to do the things that I say. But Jesus even sets that standard. Good works come from the Father. Only God is good. And since only God is good, He is the only one that can deem a work to be good. Well, number two raises the question, what are God's standards concerning good works? Roman numeral number two. We've established that the Bible, which is always true, which will always conquer the world, which is always right, the Bible says that God is the only standard of what is good. Well, what are God's standards concerning good works? The first part of this section is good works must be done in accordance to His Word. Good works must be done in accordance to His Word. And it sounds elementary, right? But it is something that is true and that is real. If something is to be a good work, it must go along with the Scriptures. Look at the story of the rich young ruler. It says, a ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And then he takes them to the Old Testament. He takes them to the Word of God. He says, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. He takes them to the Ten Commandments, doesn't he? Remember in the Ten Commandments, that is summed up, you know, in the first four, talk about loving God, good works and actions that are concerned with loving God. And then the last six commandments are concerned with what? Loving others, loving man. Good works are, you know, things like not stealing, not coveting, honoring your father, honoring your mother, you know, not killing people, things along those lines. The first thing he does in this discussion of how to get to heaven is he takes him to these works. And what he's going to show this guy is that he has never done these good works. He has never participated in these good works. It says, you know the commandments. You know what the Lord has commanded. Psalm 119:68 says, Lord, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. God, you are perfect. You are holy. You are righteous. Teach me what you want to command me. And that is what is true. That is what is right. That is what is accurate. That is what is good. Psalm 119:9 that I'm sure you're all familiar with. How can a young man keep his way pure? What's the answer? By keeping it according to your word. You want to know what good works are? You need to look at the Bible and you need to examine what the Bible says, and that will tell you what a good work is. Something that is admirable, something that is pleasing to God. Good works must be done in accordance to His Word. If you ever are in a situation and you're weighing it out and you're evaluating and saying, you know what, this could really help this person out. This would be a good thing. But is it in accordance to God's Word? Let's say that you have a friend who snuck out, and then your friend gets stranded somewhere and they need you to come help them and help you sneak back into the house. At one point you can say, you know what? It would be a good thing to go get my friend. It would be a good thing to help my friend out. That would be a good work, wouldn't it? Oh, but what's the problem there? Your friend is in sin. Your friend has disobeyed their parents. And you aiding and helping them in that is not a good work. It is not a good thing. Now, the right thing to do would say, you know what? I'll come help you. But we're going to talk to your parents. We're going to let your parents know because you are in a state of sin. And you need to be confronted with that. And you need to talk to your parents. You need to ask their forgiveness. Good works must be done in accordance to His Word. Secondly, good works must be done out of God-glorifying motives. This is the one that makes you go, ooh. A good work must be done. Good works must be done out of God-glorifying motives. Let me paint you a picture. All right, Mom comes home. You know, Aiden, my car's kind of dirty, son. I need to go wash it. Aiden springs up immediately. Yes, Mom. And he runs out there and he gets the bucket and he fills the bucket and he gets the suds and he's going and he is cleaning away. And that baby is so clean you could eat off of it. And if it's that clean, Aiden, I need you to clean my truck. It's been a while, okay? But the whole, you know, you look at it and you say, wow, what an obedient young man. Had a cheerful smile on his face. But if Aiden is doing it, while he's doing that, he's thinking, Mom, I can't believe you made me do this. I can't believe you made me come out here. Oh, why couldn't you get Duncan to do it? I know he's only like 7. But couldn't he, is that easy, 7? Yeah, something like that. You could have got him to come out. Why couldn't you get one of the other ones? It doesn't matter that he did the action that she asked perfectly. And he did it immediately. And he did it with a fake smile on his face. It doesn't matter if his motive is not right. If his motive isn't, yes, Mom, absolutely, I want to serve you and help you. Then that good work, it's not good. It is not good, people. Let's look at this. What are some improper motives for doing good works? Yeah, Wendell. You hope you get paid for it, right? Yeah, Mom, I'll jump out there, I'll wash that car, and then... it's okay for being paid for things, right? All right, all of us adults, we're fans of that. But just because you expect someone to pay you and that's why you do it, no, that's not right. Okay, what else? What are some other improper motives? Logan, your friends are doing it. You know what? My friends are out there serving in the community. You know, they're cleaning off the baby seagulls. That's a good work. You know what? I want to be with them. I'll jump out and I'll do that as well. No, that is not right. Someone else. Sorry.
Going on a ski trip just to go skiing.
As a leader, you sound
like, okay.
Okay. You did sound like you were someone who wrestled with that, though. Okay. Oh no. Yes. Yeah. You know what? If a leader says, "I want to go on that ski trip, just to ski. I don't care about those kids. I don't care about helping out, but I just want to ski." I don't think any of our leaders said that. I think most of our leaders said, "I gotta ski." All right. They came and they went and they did it anyways. What are some other improper motives? McKenna. Yeah, just to make a good impression on other people that are watching you. I call this pleasing people, pleasing men. I'm going to do this thing. And while I'm doing it, you better watch. Hey, look at me. That's coming back in the house and saying, "Mom, I washed your car. I washed it so good. You're going to love it. It did great. I don't know what Duncan was doing in here the whole time, but I was out there washing your car. Hey, 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 look at me." This is the Eddie Haskell phase of good works. A lot of you are probably too young to ever watch Leave It to Beaver. All right. But Beav's older brother, Wally, had this really slimy friend named Eddie Haskell. And he was always the one, "Yes, Mrs. Cleaver." And, you know, and but he's the one who's saying, "Yeah, Wally, let's do this bad thing." But when parents or people saw him, he was like, picture perfect person. Some of you may be that. Some of you may come here on Sundays, may come here on Wednesdays, and you may be the Eddie Haskell who says, "Yeah, life's going great. I'm reading and I'm doing this. I'm obeying my parents." But in the inside, your motive is simply to please people, to get people to look at you and accept you. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? Remember what happened to them? Everyone at the church, a lot of people are selling land. They're getting money and they're giving it to the church so that they can give it to other people so the church can do the work of the Lord. And there was no command. There was nothing compelling them to give or to do anything. But they went out and they sold something and they kept part of that back. But then when they went to church, "Hey, here it is. Here's the full price. We're giving it all. We're doing this wonderful thing." Dead. Ananias died. Sapphira, same thing. "Is this the full price?" "Oh, absolutely, full price. We're jumping in there, full Christians here, people." Struck her dead as well. Good works aren't to be done just to please people. Why else? What are some other improper motives? CJ. Score good points with people so you can do so. Yeah, you know, if you build up enough good stuff with your parents, when you do something stupid, maybe they're, you know, "Well, you know, he always wakes up and goes to school on time and he does his homework. So if he does this bad thing, then that's okay. At least my kid doesn't do this," right? Something along those lines. What are other improper motives? Katie?
Beef up your college resume.
Beef up your college... No! You guys wouldn't do that, would you? So they look at your college resume... And they're like, "Whoa, this person did 600 hours of community service. They must love others, right?" Or they must want to look really good on their college resume. Right? There's nothing wrong with doing the community service, but you want to do it from the proper motive. Sage. Yeah, just doing something because you have to. Doing something because you have to, but doing it with the wrong motive is not pleasing to God. It is not a good work. All right? Couple other things, other improper motives. Caleb.
By having the best stuff and having
other people be best. Yeah, elevating yourself before man, pleasing man. William.
Doing something good soon enough to get a haircut.
Did you have to do that, William?
Sometimes, yeah.
Man, I did notice you got a haircut. It looks sharp. He's like, "No." He's like, "Don't talk about that." Did you get your haircut with the proper motive, William? All right, Heather.
Well, something like this, but
just doing it to get that reward. Do you struggle with that? There's things out there that you know that you should do, and a lot of times that spills over into our Christian walk, right? There's things that a Christian should do, so okay, I guess I will. You know, like you come here on a Sunday, you see someone sitting alone by themselves, no one really talks to them much, and you can say, "You know what? I've got a love and a compassion for that person because God loved me. And I want to go ask them how they're doing. I want to make sure that they're fitting in. I want to make sure that things are going well." Is that your motive? Or is it to say, "No, I'm supposed to go love people." Or, yeah, Justin told me to go sit by that guy. I don't really want to do that. You got to weigh out those things. The last improper motive that I wanted to look at is making up for bad works. So as we're looking at improper motives, still under that same little outline category, making up for bad works. You know that whole like two wrongs don't make a right? That type of thing that if you can add two things together and you can make it be something else. You know, 20 goods don't make up for a bad. It's not that, you know, if you sin before God, God says, all right, give me 20 Hail Marys. You know, that's a Catholic thing. All right. Wash all the leaders' cars and walk the old ladies across the street. And then, boom, you're good. I'll forgive that one thing. That's what most people use as good works. They think, you know what, if I build up this mountain, if I build up this stack of good things that I do, then it'll make the bad things that I do so small, so minuscule. The problem with that, without the right relationship with God, without doing things from the right heart, without the right motive, without that right walk with the Lord, all of those good things that you are doing, you know what they are? They're trash. They're trash. Think of all the famous people who have a DWI or, you know, there's something going on. They get in trouble with the law for drugs or whatever it may be. You know what they do? Most of the time, the famous people, especially you see this with athletes, they do community service and they do what? They give money. Or they start some foundation, some charity. So that the world will look at them and say, hey, I know this guy. I know this guy recklessly endangers other people by driving and drinking at the same time. But hey, he's got this cool charity over there where he's making up for it. And it makes a difference in our life. Things along those lines, you say, you know what, there's this much bad. But oh, look at all of the good. Bad works don't make up, or good works don't make up for bad works. And Isaiah 64, Isaiah tells the is praying to the Lord about the people and their sin. He says, you meet him who rejoices in doing righteousness, who remembers your ways. Behold, you are angry, for we sinned. Isaiah is explaining this. You know, the people are in the state of they have sinned against God. They are still sinning against God. But what do they try to do to get out of that hole? It says, we continued in them for a long time. Shall we be saved? For all of us have become like one who is unclean. And all our righteous deeds are like what? A filthy garment. And all of us wither like a leaf, and all our iniquities like the wind take us away. Isaiah is saying, this state, this time, the nation is in sin against the holy and righteous God. And they are being punished for it. Or they're about to be punished for it. So they say, you know what? Oh, that's it. Let's start doing the good things again. Let's start sacrificing. Let's start doing that. Let's start, you know, following the Old Testament. Let's start doing those good things. And boom, we're good. No, no, no. What they should have done is they should have repented and turned to God and just said, God, be merciful to us. We have sinned against you. We trust you. We trust in your ways. And God would be quick to forgive. There's no amount of good things that they could stack up that would bridge that gap to God and please God. You get the wording on that? All of us have become like one who is unclean. All our righteous deeds. These would be good deeds. These would be things that are excellent. These are the right things to be doing. All of these righteous deeds that God has declared to be right. All of those things are like filthy garments. They're like a filthy garment. It's like a nasty, bloody, messy garment. Have you ever gone on Monday nights to Frisbee? A number of you. All right, how many of you have ever seen Drew Michael sweat? Drew Michael is one of the leaders of the college group, all right? You might see him walking around. Does he still have that weird beard going on? Yeah, he probably does for the ski trip, all right? Like I grew that amazing goatee that took me like a month and a half so that I'd be a little bit more warm on the ski trip. He grows a beard. On Monday nights on Frisbee, Drew happens to get a little sweaty.
A little.
And it's a little gross, all right? And when I would play, I happened to get a little sweaty. And Drew and I would both notice that, you know what, we had a gray shirt on, but now it looks kind of more like black. So we thought, you know what, this would be fun. this would be wonderful. Let's find someone and give them a hug and show them how much we appreciate them. A nice, kind thing, right? And what we would do is, let's say that there's someone right here, and I'd walk up and I would talk to them. And say, hey, how you doing? And Drew would come on the other side, kind of like the Raptors. You don't always see all the ones that are coming. And then we go, oh! And then we would give that person a hug, and they would be right in the middle of us. And most people, their head comes up to about right here when we give them a hug. So we would be filthy, nasty, sweaty, and we would offer up this sweet and kind hug. Did they want that hug? No. They would go, ooh-hoo-hoo, and they would run, and they would dance around. And they would say, flee, they're coming for you. What we offered up was disgusting to them. When we do things that are not in accordance with God's word, when we do things with the improper motives, it is the same thing before God. God, I offer this good work up to you. It is a filthy, nasty, dirty, rotten rag if you do not have a proper relationship with God and if you are not walking in God's ways. That's what it is. That's the truth, people. Well, number three, what is the relationship of good works and Christianity? We've looked at the world and how the world views things. We've looked at the Bible, how the Bible views things. And we know that the Bible always wins. The Bible is always true. But if you look at this issue of good works and Christianity, what's the relationship there? Most people would say that you do good things and that's what makes you a Christian. That's what makes you right before God. But no, Romans tells us that there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 6:23 says, you know, for the wages of sin is death. You know, we have sinned. We are destined for that death. And the only way we can have a right relationship before God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. The first thing on this section I want you to jot down, we were not saved by our good works, but by Jesus's. We were not saved by our good works, but by Jesus's. It's nothing that we did. It's nothing that we did that saved us, that earned our salvation, but it was the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is what did it. Continuing on in the story that we've been looking at, it says a ruler questioned him, saying, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And he says, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother. And the rich young ruler says, all these things I've kept from my youth. Jesus gives him a checklist and says, all right, let's look at this. You need to do all of this stuff. He goes, honor my mother and father. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I haven't stolen. Boom, boom, boom. He checks all those things off. But he has not done them with the God-glorifying motives. He hasn't done it in accordance to God's word. It says, when Jesus heard this, he said to them, one thing you still lack. He's going to prove to him. He's going to show to him. He's not saying, you can be saved if you do these things. He's saying, all right, let's check your heart here. You say that you're perfect, pretty much. Show me that you are perfect. It says, one thing you still lack, sell all that you possess, distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven and come follow me. You say you're perfect. Why don't you show me in this? It says, but when he heard these things, he became very sad. Why? For he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, how hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. They who heard it said, then who can be saved? Jesus is saying, oh, it's so hard. Harder for a camel to go through, or easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to be saved. But he says these wonderful words, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. In light of the cross, Jesus Christ dying for us, shedding his blood for us, we could never earn our way into heaven. But Jesus could. But Jesus did. Jesus lived that perfect life. And think of it this way. It's not that when you trust in Jesus, it's not that he just washes your sins away. You know what else he does? He gives to you his righteousness. Romans chapter 5, verse 18 says, so then as through one transgression, there resulted in condemnation to all men. Adam sinned. Some of you guys are right on this. Adam sinned, and therefore that sin was passed on to everyone. All men were shut up under sin. Even so, through one act of righteousness, there resulted justification of life to all men. Do you get that? That right standing before God was earned. Was earned, people. Not by you, not by me, but by Jesus Christ. For as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, even so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. Isn't that beautiful? It's not our works that save us. It's Jesus Christ's work, what He did on the cross. Not only on the cross, what He did for His whole life. And that righteousness that He stored up, He gives to you so that you may be right before God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, you're all familiar with, right? For by grace you have been saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You don't earn a gift. You are given a gift. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. No one can say, I did it. I made my way into heaven. No one can say that. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. We're not saved by our good works, but by Jesus's. Next, we were created for good works. We as Christians, when we come to understand who God is, Romans 6 talks about how we died with Christ and we were raised again to a new life and we are new beings. And in that life, we are created for something specific, to give glory, to give honor to God and to do the works that He has prepared for us. In Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for fun and games and enjoyment, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. It's my favorite verse. No. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. What God deems to be good with the proper motives, that is why we are saved. That is what we are created to do, because all of that is glory to the Father. We are to be rich in good works. We are to be rich in good works. Most people strive and thrive to be rich with money, so when they walk down the street or when they drive their car, people go, whoa, look at them. They're loaded. It's wonderful. Look at that. But we are to be rich with good works. 1 Timothy 6:17 through 19. Does instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. I've probably used this story before. I might date myself a little bit. Remember DuckTales? Scrooge McDuck, Huey, Dewey, and Louie, Launchpad McQuack, and all that good stuff. If you had one word to define Scrooge McDuck, what would it be? Me, it would be loaded. Loaded! I think he had like diamond cufflinks or something like that. You know, he had that big old money bin that he would swim around in? And you're thinking, man, that would be cool. I would love to. I don't know how you swim through gold coins, but he did it. And he would put them in his mouth and he'd spit them up and he'd do all sorts of cool stuff with them. That is to be your life as a Christian, but not with money, to be good works. You should be swimming in good works. If you think, you know what, have I done enough for God today? Have I loved people enough? Have I obeyed Him enough? It's never enough. You are to excel still more. Your whole life should be dedicated to doing what is right before God. So many times as Christians we think, what can I get by with? What's the minimum level of acceptance for me as far as doing good things? You are to be rich. Your life is to abound in doing things that are right, that are true, that are accurate, that are good before God. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of God our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. People for His own possession, zealous for good deeds. That should be us. You see, you are not a Christian because you do good works. But if you are a Christian, you do good works. See that relationship there? You don't stack up good works to get you to heaven. Once you are saved, then you will start doing things that are good for God. We are a witness to the Father with our good works. We are a witness to the Father with our good works. Now, this really is my favorite verse. And I try not to use it all the time, but it's so money. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men so that they may see what? Your good works and glorify who? Your Father who is in heaven. When you do things that are good, when you do things that are right before God, it's not so you go, hey, hey, look at me. I'm the man. Look at my holiness. Look at my righteousness. Look at the things that I do for other people. It's so that other people will look at you and they go, ah, no way. Why is Nico doing that? Why? It's got to be because of God. It's got to be because of God. Isn't that amazing? Because good works originate from God. They're defined by God. They are determined by God. They are done by His people. And when His people do that, people can see God through that. Remember when Jesus said in John 10 that He did good works that were from the Father. That is us. We are a witness to the Father with our good works. We are rewarded by our Father for good works. We are rewarded by our Father for good works. Looking again in Luke 18, where He said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. And Peter says, behold, we left our own homes and followed You. Peter says, look, we love You. We're serving You. We're doing the right thing. We're doing these good works. And Jesus acknowledges that. And He says to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or wife or brother or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who will not receive many times as much as this in the age to come, eternal life. Not only eternal life do we receive, but there are the crown of life, the crown of righteousness that the New Testament epistle writers teach us about. Things that we are given, crowns. And you know what we do with those crowns when we get into heaven? We wear them as bling and we say, look at my crowns. Look at my bad self. No, you know what we do? There's a picture of this in Revelation 4, this glimpse into heaven. And these elders who have received these crowns, you know what they do with those crowns? They throw them right back to God. I did these good things because of You. So You are the one who receives the glory. You're the one who receives the honor. Everything that I do that is good, it comes from You. And it is because of You. And now we'll cast those crowns back at the Father. Well, in conclusion, there's two things that I want you to focus on. And you can write them down if you want, but I'm going to talk kind of fast, so you might not be able to get them. Beyond the alert and filter out the world's teaching of good works. We are saturated through books, through music, through videos, through the culture that is out there, that there is a different standard of good works. That there are different things that are acceptable because of those things that we do. I want you to think for a second on something really deep. All right, the Emperor's New Groove, right? You have Cusco, who's been turned into a llama because he is a mean, rotten, nasty guy. And Pacha the whole time is saying, hey, you're good. You're a good person. And he shows time and time again that he's a rotten, evil guy. And he even schemes against Pacha to get him thrown into his dungeon and killed and all of that stuff. But there is one instance. There's one instance when Pacha is about to fall down and Cusco saves him. And he's like, I knew there's some good in you. No, I mean, he just grabbed you and put you back on the thing. But the movie wants to say, yeah, there's good in everybody, isn't there? Absolutely, there's some good. I don't know if any of you have gotten to see Fred Claus. I wouldn't necessarily recommend it because it wasn't that great. But you know, Santa's whole stick, the good list and the bad list, the naughty and the nice. And the whole thing from it was, let's get rid of that naughty list. Because there's kids out there that are struggling with different circumstances and happenings and stuff like that. Shouldn't all kids get a present on Christmas? Aren't they all good? Aren't they all doing good things? There's just bad situations that happen to them. You know what, guys? You watch the movies, you listen to the music, you see the things that are going on in society and in culture. You need to be on the alert that that's what they are throwing at you. That is what is happening. Because then we can all feel good about each other and go on our merry way. Do good works out of the proper motivation and in accordance to God's Word. What about you? What about your life? Do you do the things that you do for the right reasons? Do you do them in accordance to God's Word? Do you come on Wednesdays? Do you come on Sundays just because your parents make you? Do you spend time with your brother and with your sister just because your parents make you? Do you help? Do you love? Do you care just to receive some sort of a reward? That may be a key revelation into where you are at before the Lord Jesus Christ. We as God's people should gratefully engage in good deeds for the betterment of the cause of Jesus Christ, knowing that we are not saved because of good works, but we have been saved by Christ's good work, and therefore we are saved to do good works. Let's pray. Father God, we love You so much. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You that You have communicated to us Your truth, Lord. We thank You, Father, for what Jesus did for us. Living a perfect life, dying for us so that we may have eternal life, Lord. You are so great and so awesome. Help us to really filter out what this world teaches us about good works. Help us not to rely on good works to be what saves us, Lord. But help us to rely on the righteousness of Christ that is given to us through repentance and faith in Him. And may from that, may we be a people that are zealous for good deeds. It's in Your Son's name we pray.